Hi, I'm Sean. I've always been curious about the answers to life's big questions. I thought it would be cool to seek some of those answers through conversations with others on a similar path. I started this podcast with a simple mission. I want to help you improve your life. These conversations are meant to challenge you, make you think, and to inspire you to pursue the things in life that light you up. I've always believed that with the right mix of effort and perseverance, anything truly is possible. I'd like to invite you to think outside the lines. What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Think Outside the Lines podcast. Now, this episode features part two of my conversation with the insightful Joan Sotkin. If you missed part one, please go back and check that one out. Now, today we continue our discussion on the aftermath of the 2016 election and how we can move forward. We talk politics, religion, consciousness, meditation, prosperity, and so much more. It's time to think outside the lines once more with Joan Sotkin. Part of my issue in this kind of new world that we live in today is having feeling like I'm a rational person and trying to have rational conversations with people who are not rational. Or just maybe irrational is the wrong word, but just they're not aligned with my perspective. Do you have any best practices, techniques that you coach people on to navigate these conversations?
Don't try to change their mind.
Yeah.
You're not going to. Not in this society, the way we are now. So I just listen and I don't take it personally.
Yeah.
I don't have to own what they're saying. I just have to listen to what they're saying. I was listening to a woman last night on a show on MSNBC who was very much a Trump supporter. And I just don't understand how they get to that point.
Yeah.
I don't remember, we have to have a minus for every plus. So it would actually be very boring if we were all in this peace, love, bliss place all the time.
Would it though? Because I'm aligned with a lot of that, but I wonder sometimes, would it though? Would it really be that bad? Because I'm sure there would still be some semblance of conflict, but yeah, I don't know.
I live as peaceful a life as anyone can live.
Yeah.
I don't have kids or grandkids that I have to worry about. My only one to worry about is my dog, who's pretty pliable. And I live in this very peaceful community. Now, I've had my house broken into because there are, with the opioid epidemic, there is crime that goes on.
Yeah.
And so when it happened, I realized how vulnerable I felt. And so I dealt with the feeling.
Yeah.
But, it's funny because, as I said, I don't get trolls, and I have people in my orbit who disagree with me politically, but by being kind to everybody, it's that's what comes back to me.
Totally. And one of the things you actually mentioned in one of your recent episodes, and like I said, I've become a fan of your show, so I've been taking notes, but you talk about really asking yourself more of what can I do to try and understand this person? And maybe even asking them questions how did you reach that decision or that conclusion? And why is this important to you? And I loved that because I feel like it opens up the dialogue in a way that gets them to start thinking and processing. And then it can actually mm-hmm. become a dialogue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you and I make the assumption that a peaceful life is best.
Yeah.
Well, I've had people tell me they can't give up their anger because that's what motivates them.
Interesting.
Until they decide they want a different motivator, they're going to be angry. So I can't understand everybody. I mean, to me, I love that people like you are in the world now. This is where I think our future is the young people who are waking up and saying, I need to be a vegan. I need to meditate. I mean, it's happening.
Yeah.
And, it's interesting because I had that crystal business in the 1980s and then it went away and I went away from the crystals. I'm creating a new website. I'm redoing Prosperity Place with a catalog, and I'm including crystals because they're becoming popular again.
They are, actually.
I mean, they're all over the place. Yeah. And
it's funny. My mom is not even like into that at all, and she gave me this crystal stone thing that's supposed to like absorb like Wi-Fi and like, you know, some of like the negative energy and stuff like that. I'm like, who are you? Like, why did you bought me a crystal?
It's fabulous. And I've been doing these energy group energy adjustments once a month on Zoom. I have one coming up. I mean, I do it once a month, and I do it where I can see people, and I'm doing energy healing over Zoom with crystals.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
People are signing up, and they tell me that afterwards they feel more peaceful and hopeful. I'm marketing it as how to get unstuck and move forward, and it's working. Yeah. And so the crystals that I'm selling have my energy in it.
Totally.
And so I'm selling the energy of peace.
Love it.
Wow. So my goal is to sell another 50,000 stones.
You know, that's so cool. I mean, honestly, that's something that I love. That's what I love about the internet, actually, is the fact that it brings people like us together. And we were talking about the media a second ago, and I have different thoughts on, you know, the media in 2017. But an element of the media that I'm particularly fascinated by is actually podcasting. Because people like you and I have the chance to share our voice and share our perspective with people literally all over the world. And there are so many different types of podcasts that I consume, right? And so I think that, like, yes, there's a place for, like, the Fox News and the MSNBCs of the world. But I love that, like, we have a voice and we have people that are listening to that voice. And I take it seriously. Like, I feel that I have a responsibility in that realm now, especially that I have an audience and there's people that, you know, listen to my show every time. And I feel like you're kind of in that same group. It's interesting because I think watching the media evolve, especially after last year, I think there's a lot of takeaways. And like I said, it caused me to really kind of think about how I wanted to reframe this show and some of the things that I wanted to talk about now.
Okay. So the fact that you watched the ugliness, I'll call it.
Yeah.
Made you say, that's not what I want.
Yep.
Okay. So it stimulated to find the peace within yourself.
Correct.
Okay. That's what it's doing to a lot of people now.
Totally. Totally. And through the anger, right? Like, we talked a little bit about the anger, and there's people that, you know, that's their guide or their filter or whatever. But a lot of, there was a lot of anger, right? And there's even for
there still is, yes.
Well, of course. But even those of us that consider ourselves peaceful beings, like, I was fucking angry on November 9th. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I assume a lot of America was too.
Oh,
so,
yes,
yeah,
they were.
Working through that anger is important.
Okay. So if you say, okay, Donald Trump never did anything to me, what does he represent that makes me angry? So, it, you know, I can only guess that it comes from, you know, being disciplined when you were a kid or whatever you went through as a kid, being told what to do, having to sit still in school. I mean, there are so many ways. Anger is a very valid emotion. When your space is violated anyway, anger is a very healthy emotion. So what were the things that made you angry? And do you have more control over your environment now? And when someone comes and says something to you that makes you angry, are you able to say out loud, that really doesn't work for me? It makes me angry. You don't have to go into rage, but you can express, you know, all this spiritual claptrap about not getting angry. I mean, it's bullshit. Pardon me.
No, you're good.
I mean, it's like abundance. There are certain words that just push my button.
My key takeaway from this entire episode is, do not use the word abundance again. It's definitely a dirty word.
Well, put should, ought, and must in that group too. Okay. And, you know, all the shoulds is what makes us angry.
Totally.
And, you know, I've been a rebel all my life. I was the only kid in high school who didn't make the National Honor Society, even though I was in the top 10% of the class, because I failed self-control every single year. I used to get grades like 95 unsatisfactory because I couldn't help but express myself. They didn't know that I was practicing my craft.
Seriously.
And, you know, so there are lots of reasons for kids to be angry. But I don't know about you. In our family, we were absolutely not allowed to get angry. And I swallowed so much anger that my stomach ruptured. I mean, ruptured.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm all for teaching people how to express the hidden emotions, because those are what are determining your life and business outcomes.
Totally. You have a new book called Search for Connection. It takes the reader on this incredible journey through kind of following your inner voice. One of the things you're really open about and honest is your struggle with depression, which I think is a topic that a lot of people, I wish people would speak more openly about, because I think it affects more people than we talk about. One of the things you talked about specifically was kind of there's a link between like your mood and your diet, which I'm pretty fascinated by. Can you talk a little bit about what you learned and how maybe it could help someone listening today?
Oh, wow. One of my favorite topics.
Me too, okay, actually.
So I was a suicidal depressive for 15 years.
Wow.
I was on psychotropic drugs. And you know, I just kept saying, what's wrong with me? Why am I so depressed? And no, I mean, why am I depressed like this? And it was awful. That feeling in my heart of depression was terrible. And then in June of 1973, there was a documentary on television about hypoglycemia, and it was all about how low blood sugar causes depression. And by this time, I was reading medical books, and I was looking for the answers. I really was. And I knew had I had hypoglycemia. I went to the doctor, and I said, I want a glucose tolerance test. And he said, Joan, you're just a hypochondriac. Just get used to all of your disorders, because I had a lot of physical disorders, too. And I said, just humor me and give me the glucose tolerance test. And by AMA standards, I had a raging case of hypoglycemia.
Wow.
My blood sugar went down to 30.
From the doctor who told you you were paranoid about it? Gave you that same news. Wow.
Yes. But he didn't know what to do. So, again, I started reading. I read the book Low Blood Sugar and You, something like that. Anyhow, it was real clear to me that that was the cause of the depression. So I started meditating on it and found this doctor who specialized in hypoglycemia. And he handed me a piece of paper that said, follow this and you won't be depressed anymore. And it said, no peas, no beans, no corn, no rice, no potatoes, no bread, no grapes, no bananas, no watermelon, no sugar, no white flour, no caffeine.
Oh my God, no life.
And I went home and did it.
Really?
And within 2 days, I wasn't depressed anymore. And I had other problems. I had to learn how to not be a depressive personality. And I had other things that had gotten screwed up because of all the crap that I had eaten for so long. And I mean, in Paterson, New Jersey, where I was brought up, they had this guy called the Chocolate Man, and he delivered every 2 weeks. You know,
wow.
we just ate so much sugar. And I have not knowingly eaten sugar since 1973. Let me do the math for you. That's 44
years. When? Oh, my God.
I now – actually, I was really sensitive to a lot of different foods, and I went through this thing for 2 years called low-dose allergen immunotherapy. So now I can eat all sorts of fruit, and I just – you know, I don't overeat anything anymore. But so now I will eat salad dressing that has 1 gram of sugar per 2 tablespoons. So that's the only sugar that I knowingly eat. I mean, I am 76 years old and have more energy and enthusiasm than people who are 30 years younger than I am, because I give my body, mind what it needs to function. and it doesn't need sugar. If you had a Rolls Royce, you wouldn't put junky fuel in it.
Yeah.
You'd put the highest grade fuel you can. So I treat my body, mind, like a Rolls Royce. And I exercise, I meditate, I eat only organic. I don't eat the things that make me crazy. And, you know, and I'm living a really comfortable life.
What is one of the biggest takeaways or the biggest takeaway you hope someone will take from your new book?
Listen to your inner voice, but in order to really hear it clearly, you have to feed yourself right. And don't be afraid of letting go and following whatever crazy path you feel the urge to follow. When I came to Santa Fe with $200 and whatever was in my car, fit in my car, it was because I woke up one day and I heard move to New Mexico. You have to follow those things. That's that higher self telling you what's next. I doubt that your higher self has told you to hate. And so my three things are love yourself, let go, and connect.
I love it. My next question was actually if you could share like some of your favorite resources that have improved your life over the years. But I feel like that might be the answer.
And do what you have to recognize where your emotional pain started and don't be afraid to express it. I mean, this is what the groups that I do, what we work on, and my course, Rewire Your Brain for Prosperity and Financial Freedom is all about. It's all about how to learn to express those hidden emotions, because a lot of physical dis-ease is caused by repressed emotions. There's a whole science called psychoneuroimmunology that studies the connection between physical disorders and emotions. And it's like when I had all that pain in my body, I would just put my hand over the pain and make the sound of the pain, and that would make it go away. And now, after years of pain and surgery and all sorts of things, I am remarkably comfortable and healthy.
You know, I love talking to you because you just live such an interesting life. And I'm just so fascinated by all of your stories, and it's great. Tell me, what has you hopeful?
Well, first of all, thank you for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate when young people are listening to what I have to say, because a lot of old fogies don't care.
You're welcome. I mean, listen, it's funny because I started listening, like I said, after you were on my show. And there were a couple episodes in particular that just kind of like sparked my interest. But then, like I said, you've done a lot of conversations since the election that have just kind of helped me process things. And those discussions have definitely had meaning and impact. And so that's why, again, part of the reason I'm inspired to continue on this journey myself is because I believe that I can make that same contribution. So you keep doing what you're doing too.
And this is what warms my heart and keeps me going.
Totally.
Is that young people are coming around. And it's fabulous. I mean, I just feel I've gotten to the point where love is my defining emotion. I love people. I love dogs. I love politics. You know, it's to me, this was the Christian message, and I somehow got on board with it. But I don't think we have to judge each other or you know, if I hate someone else, it's because I hate something within myself.
Yeah.
And isn't that sad? And you are lovable. I mean, I had to learn to see myself as lovable. But once you decide which direction you want to go in, you can. You just have to make the decision and say, how do I get there?
I am right there with you. In fact, those are three of my favorite things too. Although I'd have to say I'd probably put dogs ahead of people.
Well, in Santa Fe, we have this amazing dog park with mile-long trails and a view of the entire city. And I go up there every day and walk 1 to 2 miles with my friends every day. And so I have all these dogs coming up to me going, oh, you can pet me now. You can pet me now. Oh, I love you too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, in a recent episode of your show, you actually mentioned a Chinese proverb that I want to end with. May you live in interesting times, and we certainly are.
We certainly. All I'll ask of life is that it be interesting, and it certainly is.
Absolutely. Joan, thank you so much. I love your perspective, and I look forward to what I hope will be our next conversation. Please tell us how we can connect with you.
Prosperityplace.com, the main place. My podcast is there. I've got a blog that's becoming a lot more active. And on Facebook, I love to connect to people on Facebook. So just Joan Sotkin. I'm the only Joan Sotkin in the entire world. You can always find me.
I don't even know if we're connecting on Facebook. I'll have to look for you.
I looked today and we weren't yet, so we
okay.
can do that.
I will find you. And and I'll put everything we discussed. There's a whole array of stuff, but I'll put it all the links in the show notes so that people can find you.
Thank you so much.
All right. I want to thank Joan for joining me again. Now, if you missed part one of this episode, please be sure to go back and check that out. Now, as always, you can find the links for everything we referenced in the show notes for this episode over at thinkoutsidethelines.com. And if you're enjoying the show, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. And please share this episode with anyone you think could benefit from hearing it. I thank you for listening. Now go out there and pursue your passion today, because the best way to predict the future is to create it. For more information, please visit thinkoutsidethelines.com.